Hey guys, welcome back to the Divided Classroom. I'm Sana.
I'm Marissa.
My name is Omar.
And I'm Leah.
Today, we will be wrapping up our series on CRT by discussing what we have learned throughout the past few interviews and our own personal research, as well as diving into some anti-CRT reasoning. This is our fourth and final episode of our four-part series, in which we will also discuss whether we believe CRT has a place in secondary education.
Okay. So we're going to open up our discussion with our definition of critical race theory. So over the past couple of weeks, we've discussed critical race theory with three women well-versed in what critical race theory is and how it's implemented, as well as doing our own research on the side. So we've gathered a much deeper understanding of critical race theory since we started this project. So as Dr. Dorinda Carter said, we think it's crucial to have a thorough understanding of a topic before dispensing our own opinions.
Our very simplified definition of CRT, derived from both our discussions and research, is that critical race theory is a legal and academic framework that examines the intersectionality of race, society, and law in the United States. It identifies race as a social construct, not based on individual bias, but existing in legal systems, policies, and institutions.
So in terms of anti-CRT arguments, the first thing we would like to discuss is the notion held by anti-CRT advocates that critical race theory declares that, quote, straight white people, children included, are inherently and irredeemably racist and benefit from, as well as systematically rig, all the social institutions, rules, laws, and norms that white people invented and keep in place for their own disproportionate success and in order to maintain their own stranglehold on power, end quote, from Citizens Renewing America.
Okay, so I think on the Citizens Renewing America website, this is sort of like their definition of critical race theory. So I think first and foremost, this definition is not like inherently correct. Critical race theory, and from what we've learned, does not stress that all white people or all even like children, especially when like applying critical race theory, it's sort of a way to look at history and look at the present systems. It's not necessarily like a guilt trip, which just sort of feels like what this notion is implying.
Kind of going off of that, like I feel like when it says children included are inherently and irredeemably racist, I think that's what, from what we've seen, people mistake CRT for being, that it is just like accusing and kind of pointing fingers at people, which it's really not. It's supposed to be just educating people on the history of the US and just currently the effects of racism in our society today.
Although I will say that I do agree with some of the points that white people do all benefit from systemic racism. It is ingrained in the system and therefore you will benefit from it if it is in your favor. However, whether like to say that it is systemically rigged by all white people is a very large leap. The systems have existed for 200 years. A child who was born 10 years ago did not systemically rig an institution.
Yeah.
And going off of that, I think that when people feel attacked by their understanding of CRT, which is like what Citizens Renewing America thinks, I think that something that opponents of CRT might feel attacked by is in their sense that CRT says it like all white people benefit from systemic racism, which I believe is correct. I think that that is just like a general fact of the matter. But I think that opponents might also take it personally in the sense that they might come with the belief that it's discounting any of the work that they've put in or the barriers that they've faced, the hardships that they've had to endure, which isn't the case. Like, systemic racism exists. That doesn't mean that white people don't face difficulties, but it means that they're facing less.
Right, yeah.
I agree. I think also like this, to go back to what Leah said about the children included part, I think that this like definition is like purposely created to create like a notion of fear among white people, that they're like not going to face discrimination that people of color have faced. So I think it's sort of misinformation in a way. You're trying to influence people's opinions by providing a false definition of something that is very clearly defined by those who created it and those who have applied and used it throughout history.
Yeah, and I believe like it was Dr. Carter that said when it comes to, you know, white parents believing that they don't want their kids to be dealing with like guilt from CRT or receiving any like backlash for things that they weren't involved with. She mentioned how, well, whenever in classrooms, slavery is talked about as an African American woman or an African American man, you would probably feel uncomfortable in that setting. So she's saying that you will feel uncomfortable, but that's not really an excuse to not teach it. Like that's kind of, I feel like, a good way of saying it.
Yeah, it sort of like violates the premise of education. If we're going to avoid topics, then I mean, I'm not saying that like some topics, not all topics are on the table. Obviously, there's some things that are better left outside the classroom or outside of anything in general. But like being uncomfortable should not stop something from being taught, because we've all been uncomfortable in the classroom when certain topics are being discussed. Like, for example, like when learning about 9/11, it's like, it's not like, it's just a feeling inside, right? And yeah, white guilt is definitely a thing, but you can't control that and you can't stop teaching certain things because someone will suffer from white guilt. They should know that, yes, you're white and you benefit from systemic racism, but it is not your fault that these systems are put in place. You can blame the institutions that were created and you can try to systemically deconstruct those institutions. But you can't blame yourself and you can't blame the students around you.
Right. And going off of that, I think that discomfort is just inherently a part of learning. Like when you're learning something new, when you're encountering something that might be a difficult concept, not just in like history or English, like this can happen in math, science, like you might not understand how to evaluate an integral or find X or something like that. And you might feel uncomfortable. You're gonna not feel like you're in a safe environment that you've been in multiple times because you're learning something new. And to say that discomfort means that that topic shouldn't be learned about is to essentially say that people should be comfortable with what they know, not branch out, not try to experience new perspectives, new ideas, and just stay in their little bubble. And that's just how like that's just how more they, them concepts come about. That's how more divisiveness in our country comes about. Because if you're learning from a young age, just stay with what you know. You're not really getting that full understanding that you need to be a global citizen.
And no, I 100% agree. And I feel like when in that story, how that woman said her daughter came home feeling like ashamed of the color of her skin, you know, saying, why do people hate me for being white? Obviously, you know, we don't want children to feel that way, but I feel like that's something, and I'm not a person of color, but I feel like that's something that people of color do deal with, feeling ashamed of their skin color, feeling, like, why do people hate me? Why am I being discriminated against because of the color of my skin? And I feel like that's something that white people have not experienced yet. So after feeling like they're experiencing with the CRT, experiencing that for the first time, that's how I feel like it's getting this negative connotation for it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, obviously. Like, the experience of a person of color and being ashamed of who you are, like when you're a child, like I spent years wishing I was white, and like that's not something any child should experience. And I think CRT is what is working to dismantle that. Critical race theory is an important part of the movement that is deconstructing systemic racism and deconstructing these like well-built-in notions. And I also think that this like take on critical race theory is just a fundamental misunderstanding of critical race theory. Because like this like child is in like what K through 12 school. Critical race theory, as we found, is not really applied in K through 12 schools. It's theoretical in its application. And also when critical race theory is being applied in schools, which it is being applied in like colleges and universities, it's not really like a topic of discussion unless you're in like law school, right? But it's sort of just like the lens and like the way you analyze certain things. And I don't think any kid in fifth grade is doing that. So if an educator is making white kids feel ashamed about being white, that is not critical race theory's fault, that is the educator's fault. So critical race theory should not be this buzzword that is used to like describe anything race related.
Right, and I think that also goes into how CRT is being, like you said, thrown around as a buzzword. It seems as though those that oppose CRT in like education in like high schools, elementary schools, middle schools, even though they're not implemented in any of those environments, anything that can be seen as like even like touching on systemic racism, for example, explaining how like capitalism has its roots in like how plantations worked with like slaves being put in like hierarchical systems beneath an owner, quote unquote. Like even that can be counted as CRT to those that oppose it, because it simply suggests that America is founded on these types of institutions. And so those that oppose CRT, when they see those things in classrooms, they think immediately, CRT, let's get people angry, let's get people buzzed up about this, and eliminate it from curriculums, which is just not, like, it doesn't give students a full picture of what is American history, I guess.
So our third point is that notion that critical race theory underpins and contributes to identity politics, which is that the American people are not one people, but instead many groups divided on sex, race, gender, national origin, ability, quote unquote, each with specific claims of victimization. So to provide a definition for identity politics for us and for listeners, it's the tendency for people of a particular religion, race, social background, et cetera, to form exclusive political alliances, moving away from traditional broad-based party politics.
So to go off of this, I'm really focused on this word of identity politics, right? I think that it's just a way to exacerbate, like make this issue seem like it's bigger than it is. Like people inherently find similarities when you all share one character trait, right? So like you inherently, like immigrants, they inherently find people of their own from their own country or from their own like cultural background, because that is what they know. Those are the people that they feel comfortable with. And obviously you shouldn't just stick to those like little tiny groups and like branch out, obviously. But like this entire point just makes me feel like it's saying, like to me, it sounds like it's just saying people want to be with people that they are similar to. I was like, true. But it's not trying to like, CRT isn't trying to like get these groups to fight against each other. It's more of just like getting a mutual understanding that, hey, if I am from a higher socioeconomic class, I'm getting more benefits than someone that is from like a lower socioeconomic class who hasn't had all the privileges that I've had growing up.
To go off of that, I think this goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's just a fundamental misunderstanding of what critical race theory is. Like, yes, identity politics is a big thing in the United States, but I don't think it necessarily ties in with critical race theory. I think this is sort of just another like buzzword. Everyone knows what identity, like we've like identity politics is like a word just people use sometimes to make a point that is not necessarily valid. So I think this is what that's trying to do, is using critical race theory, a buzzword, identity politics, a buzzword, and you're sort of just confusing people into like siding with your opinion. And also identity politics is not necessarily a new thing. People have been like voting on like voting blocks based on race and gender for a long time. To say that CRT is dividing America now more than ever, 40 years ago, interracial marriages was not allowed. We are closer together than we've ever been. And critical race theory is working to make us closer and to deconstruct the social construct of race. So I think that these anti-CRT movements are sort of moving us backward.
No, definitely, because I feel like CRT as a whole is not meant to divide people based on race, gender, you know, national origin. It may seem like it is because it's trying to educate us on the inequalities within those categories, but it's really meant, it's really meant, like Omar said, to bring people together through informing us on the flaws within our society and how to better encourage the end to these like divisive social constructs.
And before we move on, I'd like to correct myself just for being factual. Interracial marriage was not legalized 40 years ago. It was in fact in 1967, but we can move on now.
So moving on to our next point, we kind of wanted to address an idea established by Christopher Ruffo, quote, re-engineer the foundation of human psychology and social institutions through the new politics of race, end quote.
So I think this is saying that critical race theory does that. And that's really interesting because like to say that the politics of race are new is incredibly ignorant, because race has always been a thing, not in the United States, but everywhere. It is not a new social construct. We did not create race 10 years ago. The civil rights movement was based off race. That was politics of race. We were fighting for human rights, and that was politics of race. So we're not re-engineering the foundation of social institutions. Under new politics of race, we're re-engineering them so that they do not exhibit systemic racism.
Yeah, I like how in the quote, how he says re-engineering the foundation of human psychology. I feel like that's interesting how he's connecting this idea of CRT and like new politics of race to human psychology. Because of course it affects like the social constructs of society. And that's interesting how he makes that connection.
Right now, I think we need to take a minute to understand who Christopher Ruffo is as a person. So he's been on the political scene for a while now. He was a visiting fellow for domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation and then later at the Claremont Institute. And then he worked for the Discovery Institute, and now he's at the Manhattan Institute, I believe. And these are all like Christian conservative think tanks that tend to put out like expert written articles on various topics, all with like a conservative lens. He is the one that made it such a villainized topic. And so there's a specific article from The New Yorker that I've been touching back on every time we like look at what critical race theory is. And the person who wrote the article was like, they were talking to Ruffo and they included a few of his quotes. So something that I'd like to share right now is that he said, "We've needed new language for these issues. Political correctness is a dated term and more importantly, doesn't apply anymore. It's not that elites are enforcing a set of manners and cultural limits. They're seeking to re-engineer the foundation of human psychology and social institutions for the new politics of race," which is something that we used earlier. And later he includes that the other frames are wrong too. Cancel culture is a vacuous term and doesn't translate into a political program. Woke is a good epithet, but it's too broad, too terminal, too easily brushed aside. Critical race theory is the perfect villain. Its connotations are all negative to most middle-class Americans, including racial minorities who see the world as creative rather than critical, individual rather than racial, practical rather than theoretical. Strung together, the phrase critical race theory connotes hostile, academic, divisive, race-obsessed, poisonous, elitist, anti-American. So, Christopher Ruffo definitely has had a major hand in making critical race theory this big term that is thrown around by both sides of the aisle as an issue with American education.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that, like, that your quotes about Christopher Rufo show that he was just trying to, like, essentially find a common enemy in which everyone can, like, unite against. And critical race theory was just that common enemy.
Okay, so when we were discussing critical race theory with our three interviewees, we asked if they had ever heard an argument opposing the implementation of CRT in K-12 education that was valid.
In general, all of our interviewees said that they had encountered arguments, but none of which they believed was valid. When we talked to Dr. Carter Andrews, I think her immediate answer was just straight out no. When we talked to Ms. Talania Norfar, she said that one of the arguments that she had heard a lot is the discomfort argument. And while she understood what they were saying and understood that, like, this discomfort is something that people want to avoid, she didn't agree that it was enough of a reason to avoid those types of topics in classrooms. And then when we spoke to Ruby Yearling, she said that in general, she never heard of any opposition to CRT amongst her peers, saying that it was just something that they all accepted as true, or that they all had come to understand as true, and it had never been something that could be argued against.
And on top of, I believe, with Ruby Yearling's explanation, you know, she just graduated from college, and I feel like she mentioned how CRT is kind of implemented within the curriculum there, and basically all it does is teach the students what really happened, and then the students make their own opinions and assumptions based off of the actual facts. And I think that there's no harm in teaching that in sort of a K-12 education.
So based on that, now the question is, do we believe any arguments that we have heard against CRT hold validity? And do we see the logic behind any arguments? I'm gonna go with what Talania Norfar said and said, yes, there are some topics that should be avoided in K-12. Like, obviously a first grader should not be learning about certain topics, because, like, that just comes with age. There's certain things you can't digest as a child that you can digest, like, maybe as a high schooler or as a college student. So yes, I see the validity in some of those points. But other than that, like, based on any arguments I've seen against critical race theory, I think they're all based on, like, the boogie monster of critical race theory and not actually what critical race theory is.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think, you know, as people who just or will be graduating from high school, I feel like CRT being implemented into our curriculum during our 4 years of high school would definitely be something that should be, you know, looked into. I feel like it's a great way to learn about issues that really require attention, and then can also, it's a great way to analyze history and apply it to our society today and moving forward. So I feel like, of course, a first grader learning about identity politics, probably not the best idea. But as Omar said, the older you get throughout K-12, I feel like it's a great opportunity to start learning about that and then really dive into it in college, maybe.
I think I can agree with what Ms. Norfar said, which is that she can empathize with those that say learning about certain topics in the classroom makes them feel uncomfortable. Like, obviously, like, that is something that people want to avoid, but, like, she also said, students of color have been feeling uncomfortable for generations. Why is it that now, when students feel uncomfortable about being white, quote unquote, or something like that, it is now enough to eliminate that from a curriculum?
And to go back to what Leah says on whether critical race has a place in secondary education, I think that it does as a lens. Like, to go into the legal framework of critical race theory feels like a lot for any grade that is not, like, in law school. But that's solely based on the fact that it is, like, a complex theory that you can't really, like, discuss in a single class period. But I think to use it as a lens to analyze historical contexts and like the relevance they have in the present world is incredibly important. And that can also be done in like middle school. So yeah, K through 12 schooling should have critical race theory in it. And that's sort of the point that I have gotten. And I wasn't necessarily sure about that before we started this project. But I think like sort of educating yourself on it and sort of understanding of what it practically is helps you like get a deeper understanding of what like its application really looks like.
And I think like placing critical race theory in K through 12 education will like help everyone kind of gain the understanding that we did through this project. And I think everyone deserves that. So yeah, I also agree that it has a place in secondary education.
Okay, so thank you to everyone tuning in. Be sure to follow our Instagram at The Divided Classroom for more content and check out the link tree in our bio for more resources. Thank you for joining us on our four-part focus on CRT. Bye.